sensed one, and wow, for the next few weeks, we are going to see the power of God. The power of God in salvation. We are going to go through this in the next few weeks. And verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Verse 20 says, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. We have time to go through only one scripture today. And here, remember, Apostle Paul is speaking to the church. If you remember at the beginning, he showed us the greatness of our salvation grounded according to God's election, right? We saw that through eternity, right? Then we saw that, but it was accomplished in our time, right? And by the atoning death of Jesus Christ, it was accomplished in our time where we are concerned. But it was grounded in heaven before time began. Then remember, then Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, asking that they would be fully grounded in God's truth. Now he's showing them the greatness and the power of God's salvation. The power in salvation, how God has provided us. Many Christians today have very little appreciation, or they don't appreciate at all, of the history of the Christian church. I think it is very important as Christians when we grow, we need to know about the history. It is very important. Now remember, the life of Martin Luther, the reformer, marked a great significance of returning the church, returning back to the Bible from the corruption of the Roman Catholicism. He gave glory to God by writing that hymn we sang today, A Mighty Fortress, Our God, written by Martin Luther. Now, it was a mighty power of God that initiated the Reformation. It meant a lot to Martin Luther at that time, because he saw it was a power of God. He was struggling with the enemy. Who was the enemy? Roman Catholicism was the enemy. But isn't it sad today that the majority of the evangelical churches had already gone back and holding hands with the Roman Catholicism and always talking about the unity? You know, Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The church is today more interested in their programs, more interested of good works. Same thing what happened to Roman Catholicism, right? It was more into traditions, into works, of what they can do other than the true gospel. Without the true gospel, the church is powerless. The Romans 1:16 says, it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, there are mega churches packed with people, but the church has not converted the worldly people into Christianity. It is the other way around. The world has won the church today, and the world has converted the church into idolatry. Too sad, huh? Packed with worldly people, and they have converted the church to the world. It is sad. Now we are going to see the power of God in salvation. Now, verse 19, if you see verse 19, and begins with and, A-N-D. And is the continuation where we start before, right? And we saw before how God has given the believers the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and we see this knowledge he has given to us, and the rich and the glorious inheritance. And if we do all, now if we do all we desire in, if we, for instance, if We do all the things that are desired in this world. Okay? That means I have a lot of desires on this world, my fleshly desires. And if I want all those desires of this world, where will be my desire for Christ? Then, on the other hand, if we do all the things, you know, of the world, I have no desire for Christ. But people are so much concerned about the inheritance of this world, the desires of this world. But Psalmist said, the Lord is my portion, my inheritance and my cup. Psalm 16:5. God has given us the fullness of His grace, His wisdom, His knowledge. Remember last time we understood, Apostle Paul was talking about heart. The heart is like our hearts were enlightened, and heart is the one that responds, and heart is the one that understands. And all this comes from where? From the power of God, not from us. So the topic is going to flow all the way up to Ephesians chapter 2. So this is going to be continued in other weeks to come. Now, Ephesians 1:19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. You know, if you look on this earth today, there's a lot of, you can see the power of man, especially as we are living in this scientific age. We see even man could be capable of even going to Mars. You know, it can be. So we see the power of man even at war today. As there are a lot of wars going on, we can see the power of man. All these missiles, all kind of aircraft, submarines, you know, everything. You can see the power of man. We can see the power of man in science. We see the power of man even our standard of living. The way we live today was very different than 100 years before. And we can see the power of man in high-tech, computers, email. Wow, we never heard about that before. And we can see man is looking more and more for pleasure, seeking all kinds of high-tech gadgets. Now, because of those things, the Bible is kind of out of place in this world. The modern man is he's seeking to live more and more high-tech, and as the, you know, it's not wrong to live, have computers, but use it for God's glory. It's not wrong to have a car, okay? We all have to go to work, but use it everything for God's glory. What I'm saying is, people are getting caught up all these things for the world, and they have no time for God, and Bible has become an ancient old book. And then some are saying, well, we are living in a different society now. I'll tell you, the word of God never changes. We see the power of man in technology. We see God has become like a myth. And His power is more like ancient stories. It's good for little children only. For them, like a bedtime story. So we see man in his pride and his knowledge has reduced God to nothing. At the same time, we see the fallen man with all the power he has, he's destroying himself. Just imagine how many people have been killed during war with all the modern technologies. With everything, man is destroying himself. Just imagine abortion and all those issues. Man doesn't understand that one day God is going to bring His power and destroy all the kingdoms of man to dust. And those who mock God, those who make fun out of God, those who play religious games with God will be tormented in hell forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." We are learning and studying the power of God unto salvation. Now, let me show you, before we come to the power of God in salvation, let me show you the power of God can be seen in different ways. The power of God can be seen in creation. Okay? Power of God can be seen in damnation of the sinners. On hell, you can see the power of God. Okay? Now, let me talk about the creation. Now, this creation, you can see the power of God. Man, with all the wisdom, he creates everything and all the everything that's even going to Mars and computers and all the high technology. He cannot create anything without raw materials. He needs raw materials. He cannot create anything without raw materials. Man needs money. Poor countries cannot create anything. Man needs labor. He needs the raw materials to create. But God in creation, He created the heavens and the earth, the beautiful waterfalls, the sea, the snow, the mountains, the trees, animals, you and me. He created everything out of nothing. Out of nothing. He spoke the word and it came to being. Wow! Now that is the power of God, isn't it? He spoke the word and it came to being. When you see the Niagara Falls, the Himalayas, covered with snow, or the River Danube, or Mississippi, or the sunrise, beautiful sunrise, the sunset, or the stars in the skies, and how this universe, when you look up in the sky, how this earth and the universe have been set, we see the unlimited power of God. But the exceeding power of salvation is even greater than His creation. That is even greater. I want to say this within the boundaries, in the context of our subject. We saw that this power of God unto salvation, His effectual call last week. This power was manifested when we were transformed from the children of devil. We were children of devil, but we were transformed to the children of God in obedience. From hell to heaven. Now these are the treasures that are revealed to us in the gospel. Paul is showing to the church the deep sense of God's divine grace for unworthy, miserable sinners like us, who was brought from darkness, from the power of God, to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Now, regeneration means born again. Regeneration is not just an ordinary work of God, but it is the amazing exhibition of the power of God. That is regeneration. Now, let's look Ephesians 1:19. Let's observe this carefully. And I want to read in Greek what it says. Okay, I'm going to read Greek. I'm not going to read Greek, but the English translation straight from Greek, word to word, into English. Now this is what it says. And what the excelling greatness of the power of Him toward us, the ones believing according to the operations of the might of the strength of Him. Now, the word operations there in your Bible may say, it says working, okay? And also at the end, it says in your Bible, His mighty power. That is, in the Greek, the power there is strength, okay? In the beginning, it says, God is the exceeding greatness of His power. That is, in Greek, is also power. So, Now, we are going to see three things here, okay? You will see a synonym, meaning the same meaning given to describe the power of God. Now, the word power, we see the word power in verse 19, and it is the exceeding greatness of His power. That word power in Greek is dunamis. Our word dynamite comes from that word, by the way. And that is the word. It means, that word power means it is the potential power or the capability of that power. Alright? Then the word energia, that is the word operations. In your Bible, it means the working. The working. The Greek word for working, or it literally means operations, that means in Greek it is energia. Energia is the operating power. Okay, you get the power, then out of the power comes what? Energy. Right? Power, you need the power, then out of the power comes energy. Right? Then the word, the last one, is His mighty power. In literally, in Greek, is strength. His mighty strength. The word strength, the Greek word is kratos. It means the significant force or strength. It means you need the power, you need the energy. Out of the energy comes strength. Now, Apostle Paul uses all these mighty Greek words amazing. Now, I told you, this will go through up to Ephesians chapter 2. Now read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And it says here, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wow, I cannot wait till I come to Ephesians 2:1. Our God, when we were dead, He made alive. With all the power, the energy, and the strength. Wow! He made us alive. God raised man who was dead in his sins to spiritual life. There was a new creation in man, taking away the stony heart and giving a heart of flesh. And there was enmity towards God. But man was slain, and we were given a new heart. And no one can change the nature of man. Of course, no one. But God did it by His exceeding power. Wow. You know the story of the pig story? You can take a pig and, you know, and take it as a pet, bring it to your home, and put it in the shower, give a good bath, shampoo, and all the nice, you know, perfume and everything. You can put a ribbon and put a bell or whatever. You can dress him up nicely. I'll tell you, that pig will not going to stay in the house. He will run back to his mud, because that's the nature of the pig. Hey, we were like that. We were the nature of the children of wrath, the Bible says. Nobody can change the nature of man. Nobody can change the heart unless God's mighty power does that. That's why it says that the exceeding power of God is His own. And God doesn't need to do something to get this power. You know, sometimes when we need some power, what do? We have to do exercises. We got to eat something good, right? We got to do something to make stronger ourselves. But God doesn't have to do that. That's His natural, infinite power. It says, according to the work of His mighty power. It is a working power. There is nothing too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? Even Sarah, when she was in her old age, bore a child. Psalm 149 verse 5. You can turn with me. Is our Lord, and our great power, His understanding is infinite. Let me tell you, it is so sad today, in general, I'm talking in general, there are many churches, their doctrine, they have limited the power of God when it comes to salvation. When it comes to salvation, they believe in the power of God. But when it comes to salvation, they limit the power of God. They have brought God to the level of man. So we need to be very careful, as there are many, they will use the scriptures, and also they will use human reason and human experience and emotions, even new revelations. And it has been kind of added or indoctrinated, added to the doctrines of God. Do you believe? Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe salvation is determined ultimately by the will of God or by the will of man? Ultimately, salvation, is it by the will of God or by the will of man? Human wisdom, human reason is a false foundation for theology, as salvation is only by the power of God alone. Do not rely on personal experience or emotions, because emotions can deceive us and lead us. Even sincere men can deny, you know, it can, many emotions have led even sincere men to deny the fundamental biblical doctrines. Some believe they are sincerely right, even they take the scriptures to support that, but out of context. That's why Jesus said, turn with me to Matthew 22:29. Listen to what Jesus said. So then said to them, "You are in error. You do err, not what? Knowing the scriptures, and what else? Nor the power of God." They did not know the power of God. Now let me tell you, when you take Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, in short, there are three words that we need to understand. And I already told about these three words. The first one is power. The second is what? Out of the power comes what? Strength and working. Okay? Now what will happen, let me ask you something. What will happen if the power goes out in our nation for 2 weeks? What will happen? Just for 2 weeks. If there's no power anywhere in this nation, just for 2 weeks, what will happen? Now what? You have no strength to do anything. Absolutely no strength. The businesses will collapse without strength. The result is what? You cannot perform. You cannot operate. You cannot work. Right? What are the three words that I gave you in the scripture? Power, strength, and work. Look at you who are believers in Christ Jesus. The Bible says before you became a Christian, you were ungodly. You are not godly. The Bible says you were ungodly. The Bible also says that you were without strength. That means you were powerless. You didn't have power, you were powerless. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans 5, 6. He was still without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You were ungodly. You did not have strength. You were powerless. Some of the Bible says powerless. Of course, you had a lot of physical strength. But you used all that physical strength for your flesh. The devil used you. Remember those days that you loved the worldly movies, the worldly songs, the Hollywood was your God, and you knew everything what was going on with the stars of Hollywood, and you loved your worldly friends and their company, you loved their beer, their alcohol, you loved the sports, you know, you couldn't get out from that TV watching all those things, and you loved the latest fashions of the world, you were kind of tuned to the world. You knew everything what is going on in the world, but you didn't know anything of God. Your goal was what? Happiness on this earth. That was your goal. I want happiness on this earth. This was your kingdom. That's what you were aiming for. You did not know that one day you are going to die and you are going to face God and God is going to judge you and that you will go to hell. So spiritually, you are not alive. You are dead. You are dead spiritually. You did not even read and study and pray. Why? You did not have the spiritual strength. You were weak. The Bible says you were without strength. You are powerless. But there was a transformation. This transformation happened by the mighty power of God. Nothing that you had in yourself. Dead people don't have any power. They are dead. God created the heavens and the earth. How? By His word. He spoke and it came to being. In the same way, the effectual call was so powerful. Remember, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus said, Lord, I can't. I'm kind of bound in this grave. He couldn't say that. Lazarus came forth. Right at that moment he came forth. In the same way, that was an effectual call you cannot resist. In the same way, God called your name and you could not resist. You were dead, now you are transformed. You are alive. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, Hebrews 4:12. See the power of God. See the word of God, how powerful it is. For the word of God is what? The word of God is living. It's not dead. Why is the word of God living? Okay, hold on to Hebrews, okay? Hold on to Hebrews chapter 4. Go to chapter John chapter 6. Now this is not in my notes, but let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 63. Now, see verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are what? John chapter 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are what? They are life. Now go back to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is what? Living. It's not dead. It's life. Hey, take any other religion. All their religious leaders are dead. And their words are dead. And their words cannot transform a dead person to life. Only the word of God has the mighty power that you can transform. The effectual call is that it can transform a dead sinner to life in Christ. So it says it's living and what? What else? It is powerful. The word of God is powerful. Why is it powerful? Because God is a living God. And God is an almighty God. And He is a powerful God. Then He says, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Wow! Amazing.
How can a drug addict, how can an engineer, how can a scientist, how can a farmer, different occupations, how can a king, how can a harlot be converted? Because the word of God is living, it is powerful. It goes into the very heart of soul. It convicts the saints and even joints and marrow and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. It's powerful.
Powerful. Remember the children of Israel. They were powerless in Egypt. The Egypt is a symbol for the world. They were serving Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is a symbol for Satan. And God called them out of Egypt. Of course, you see two power struggles now. In the Bible, you will see power of Satan and power of God was in battle there. Satan, through Pharaoh, tried to stop the calling of God. Satan did all kinds of magical words, right? Satan can do those things. Like Satan tried to stop the power of God, but God's power was stronger. When the Israelites came to the Red Sea, wow, the sea is in front of us. They look back. Where can we turn? When they try to turn, enemies at the back of them. And they were trapped, they were cornered, and they thought, that's it. Looked like Satan had victory there. But I'll tell you, our God is a powerful God. There's nothing too hard for God. When it looks impossible for man, with God everything is possible. God at that time, salvation is a miracle, isn't it? Isn't it a miracle that you came from darkness to the light of Christ with the power of God, with the same way? You see, the Israelites, they were right there at the Red Sea. The enemy is behind. They cannot go up anywhere. God did a miracle. God divided the Red Sea. The sea was parted and the sea became frozen like a wall on either side. Like a glass wall, it was frozen. And the children of Israel, they walked on dry sand. Miracle! They walked on dry sand to the other side. The enemy thought, alright, we can go too. And they came. I'll tell you, God brought back the sea and they were drowned. And they were killed. They died. And you can see the power of God over power of Satan. That was salvation for them. They were saved. In the same way, that's why Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 21 says, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Now remember Martin Luther. We talked about Martin Luther, the reformer, just a little while ago. He was brought before the authorities of the Roman Church. And Martin Luther was alone. And they wanted Martin Luther to recant of the books he has written and of his doctrine. But I'm sure Luther remembered John Huss. Previously, John Huss was brought into the same situation when Huss wanted to give the word of God to the common people. He wanted to teach the word of God to the common people. The Roman Catholic Church opposed that. And what happened to John Huss? He was brought and they wanted John Huss to recant of what he believes in his doctrine, because he is teaching is Jesus Christ alone, is the Bible alone. And then John Huss said, no, absolutely not. What did they do? They burnt all his books and they burned, Roman Catholic Church burned John Huss alive. Now, it's the same situation for Martin Luther. He was brought to the court of the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther thought that he really thought that he would be burned alive, just like John Huss. And everybody thought. So Luther prayed. And I want to listen to Martin Luther's prayer. I'm going to quote it, word to word. And please note in this prayer the honesty of Martin Luther. And this is what he said. This is his prayer. Oh, Almighty and everlasting God, how terrible is this world. Behold, it opens its mouth to swallow me up, and I have so little trust in you. How weak is my flesh, and Satan is so strong. If it is only in the strength of this world that I must put my trust, all is lost. My last hour has come. My condemnation has been pronounced. Oh God, help me against all the wisdom of the world. Do this. You should do this. You alone, for this is not my work, but this is yours. I am ready to lay down my life for your truth, for it is the cause of justice. It is yours. I will never separate from you, neither now nor eternity. And though the world should be filled with devils, though my body, which is still the work of your hands, should be slain, be stretched upon the pavement, be cut in pieces, reduced to ashes, my soul is yours. Yes, your word is my assurance of it. My soul belongs to you. It will live forever with you, forever with you. Amen. Oh God, help me. Amen. Wow. When we are weak, we become strong in God. There's the power of God is shown. And here, Luther's prayer against the apostasy of the Roman Catholicism. Because he said, my conscience is clear and it is being held captive to the word of God. He cannot get away. But I'll tell you, Luther was not burned alive. Praise God for the Reformation. But today, people are holding hands back again with Roman Catholicism, going back to idolatry. Verse 20, Ephesians. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, which we are going to continue next week. But in closing, I would like to say this. Christianity is not head knowledge or a philosophy or a religion with rituals and traditions. Some Christian things, when they have this knowing, when they have the truth, they have it all. Maybe there were people like that in the church of Ephesus, but an apostle was not satisfied. And we should not satisfy either. Sound doctrine shows the doctrinal knowledge of God. It is given so we might know God better. But it is also the power of God. It is also the power of God. Without the power of God, not one person can become a Christian. Not one. It is the power of God from the beginning of our salvation. It's of God. It's not of man. From the very beginning, initiator of salvation, he is not man. But God, there's nothing in man that he can save himself. Absolutely nothing. It is of God. And the end
of our salvation is also God.
That means from the beginning to the end, everything is a God. Even when we live on this earth, it is a God that preserves us. This is the power of God that brought us from death to life.
Wow. Dead people cannot even say a word unless God transforms that dead person into a spiritual life giving person. Then he can say, God, I have sinned.
This is the power that gives life. It gives not only the power of God brings salvation, also remember, very important, the power of God also, it is the same power of God that gives the Christian to live a godly life. Yes, it gives power. Remember the three words, never forget this. What are the three words in this Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19? First, we saw the power. Dunamis, the power. It's the potential power of God. The second word we saw, Greek word, energia, strength. This is the operating work of that power of God. The third, we saw the Greek word in verse 19, the word, what? Kratos. It is the strength. And I want you to show this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, Apostle Paul said, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in what? In power. See, it's the power of God that saves the believing sinner. It's the power of God that keeps you to become godly. Then what Apostle Paul says, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Paul is talking. What kind of men we were among you? We lived the Christian life in front of you. Wow. So you see, you're saved by the power of God. And the second Greek word, energia, is what? Strength. And God gives you the strength. In Christ Jesus, I can do all things. That who gives me strength. And the third thing is what? The second one is the energia, is the operating power of work of God. And that means is that you can do, you have the energy, or you can have the strength. You have the energy to do the works of God. And the third thing is the strength that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. So the gospel has such power. See this track? Are you sure you will go to heaven when you die? And what is the most, the core of the gospel? What is the core of the gospel? A lot of people, they don't know what is the core of the gospel is. What is the core of the gospel? What does man need to go to heaven, basically? Man need what? Righteousness. Man needs righteousness. Righteousness of God. That's what man needs, right? You cannot. That's why a lot of people today, a lot of religions, a lot of churches, they have all their programs going on, all their good works going on, and some even Buddhism, Hinduism, they're all doing righteousness of man.
They think they, when they do these righteous things, that they can go to heaven. But the Bible says there's a righteousness that is revealed from in the gospel. Romans, it talks about that, that this righteousness is revealed from Romans chapter 3 verse 10. Talks about another righteousness that is revealed in the gospel. And we see that this righteousness is not in us. And this righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that righteousness for the believing sinner is what happened. It's been imputed to the believing sinner. That means being charged to the believing sinner. We are not worthy, but Christ, through Christ, we are worthy. Now we can go to heaven with the righteousness of Christ. That right, human righteousness failed, right? In the Garden of Eden, Adam was righteous. Well, he didn't sin, but it has also human righteousness. But when Christ died for the believing sinner, Christ's righteousness was a divine righteousness. That divine righteousness was imputed to us. Human righteousness failed, but we don't have a human righteousness. We have a divine righteousness. And divine righteousness will never fail. And we go to God with the righteousness of God. That's the crux of the gospel. That's the gospel. But it's sad that many have polluted the gospel. So the result we see is a worldly gospel. The whole story is that it's the power of God unto salvation. The God is so powerful. We have a powerful God. And I want everybody to be encouraged. This is a powerful book. Even though you're a Christian, maybe you came to know the Lord and you're converted, but you're not experiencing the power of God. I'll tell you, read the Word, study the Word, and get into it more deeper. And seek as you're looking for a treasure. And that's, you need to get in humility, right? You don't come in pride to read His Word. I want more knowledge of the Word of God so I can tell everybody how knowledgeable I am. No. You got in repentance, in humility. God will fill you with wisdom. God is looking to fill people with wisdom. God has infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge. He wants to fill you. As you will be humble, teachable, and that you can teach others. And many will experience this power of God. And after that, I'll tell you, you can be like Martin Luther. Things will come in your life that will look huge mountains. You cannot do anything. And you can say, you can sing this hymn what Martin Luther sang, right? Hey, there are devils in this world, but the body can be killed, but who can be killed the soul? I don't care what happens, I love my God. And you can be strong in God. Don't worry about the things that are going around you. And we get caught up with the things that are happening around us. Right? Because those things are so close to our flesh. That's what the Bible says. We need to crucify this flesh daily. Not we will live, but Christ will live through us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we